to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for a free coaching session just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Professor Benjamin, are you with us?
Yes, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Oh, morning. I tell you, I'm like, the other day we were missing some sound there a little bit on the show, so I am so glad that that is not the case today. So welcome, welcome, welcome. I tell you, well, you have a great topic for us today, and we just want to welcome each and every person that will tune in to this broadcast. We've been, the Lalisa Williams Show has been reining in some great numbers, in my new term, from the Olympics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. We've been reining in some very good numbers here. People going into the archives by the hundreds.
Oh, that's great. That is so great.
Listening to the broadcast, so we know that these messages are very important, and so we cannot thank you enough, Professor Benjamin. Now, today, you're going to be talking about being outside the comfort zone, expanding your view. So I definitely want to make sure that people know that that is the topic for today. So I'm going to be posting some things here on Facebook so people can tune in to that.
That's but great. That's great.
I tell you, yes, talk about expanding your view, stepping outside of your comfort zone.
Well, that's what it's about, because sometimes we just get so narrow and get so locked in, and then we don't see any real possibilities. I mean, I think that's one of the dangers of old age. I spoke about last week how you sometimes you develop a point where you just can't move. You know, you got to get out of that feeling that, you know, there's nothing more for me, and that's really a big problem. You know, we think we come to the end of our rope, or we've come as far as we can, and it's just not true.
So we have to push and go further, I tell you. And there's so much of a reward, you know. I listened to little Gabrielle Douglas yesterday when she said, you know, I'm so glad to see all of my hard work finally pay off. So eventually it will pay off. It may not seem like it. You know, you may go through a lot of rough patches, but if you keep working at it, it will absolutely pay off. So I tell you, there's just some great things happening. happening, everybody gets that opportunity. Like I like to say, you know, life is like an Olympic. You know, and every day you get to wake up and go for the goal. And even if you don't get the goal that day, you're one step closer. You're one day closer. You're one inch closer to it.
Right, and again, I think that whole thing is really like a marathon, and I think sometimes we just give up too soon. I mean, we're going pretty good, and then we get tired, and we just sort of take ourselves off. I mean, Les Brown is a good example of that. He said, you know, for about 10 years, he just sort of took himself off the road. I mean, he had a TV show that failed, and he saw himself as a failure, so he took himself off and, you know, didn't do anything, and then he sort of got back into the swing of things and contacted PBS and said, you know, he would like to do a special. And they said, hey, you know, where have you been? We were looking for you. We want to work with you. You know, you have so many things to share and whatnot. And he said, well, I thought because my TV show failed that you didn't want me anymore. I said, no, that's just one thing. I think what happens with many of us, we let one thing determine our whole life. I mean, I tell my kids, the only people who don't fail are people who don't do anything. I mean, if I have 20 things that I want to do in the day, and if I fail at 5, I mean, 15 is pretty good, you know. Sometimes if you do 3 things and fail at 2, but it's still one thing that you've done right. So we got to really stop being so hard on ourselves and realize that when we do fail, it's really an opportunity to do better the next time. You know, I think a lot of times we're just too hard on ourselves. And one of the big things that I'm going to speak about this morning is the fact that many of us don't achieve because our self-esteem is too low. You know, we protect ourselves from any kind of failure because it hurts so bad and it pushes us so far back, not realizing that falling down is part of the process. I mean, when a little baby is learning how to walk, they fall down many times, but they don't stop. They don't say, well, you know what, I'll never learn how to walk. No, they keep on, you know, getting up and falling down until they master that. You know, and so that's what we got to think about our success. I mean, it's not how many times you fall down, but it's how many times you get up. And one thing Les Brown said that I really love, he said that, you know, when you fall down, make sure you fall down on your back so if you can look up, you can get up. So don't be afraid of failure. As a matter of fact, when I mess something up, I laugh. Say, oh, man, I really messed it up kind of bad. Let me try it again. But never, ever think that failure is the fruit of your rewards, because it's not a failure. It's just something along the way. You know, a lot of people say it's just a hiccup, you know. And it was Richard Carlson who said that, you know what, don't sweat the small stuff. And guess what? It's all small stuff. So we got to really be a lot better to ourselves than we've been, because, again, we deserve all the things that we can imagine. Because, again, that imagination comes from God, and God is the one who tells us, let us know that, hey, look, you know, whatever you want, if it's in my will, can be yours. And so we got to stop really being so hard on ourselves and realize that failure is just one part of success.
Oh, yes. That is a good point for people to know. So if you just tuned in, you're tuned in to Outside the Comfort Zone with Professor Terry Benjamin and Expanding Your Mind View. Wow. You know, and again, this is another message and session in the adventure into self-discovery, discovering who you are so that you can be the best you. You know, it's not so much about being better than others, but it's about being the best that you can be. I like how Paul puts it. We all are running a race.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like you're running against someone else. But you are running against yourself. This is a race that you want to win. And you're competing with yourself. You want to get better and better. It's one of the reasons that I particularly two sports that I enjoy. And that's golf and tennis.
Oh, wow.
Especially with golf. It's like... With golf, you're not competing against anyone per se. However, yes, you know, you're looking to get that lowest score. You might get a prize or two. But when you're just out there playing it, it's all about, am I better than I was the last time I went out? Did I swing better? Did my ball go further? Was my stance better? Did I stay within the greens? You know, it's just about you being better, and I love that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, but I think what it is that we got to understand that. Hey, look, it's all about how you play the game, you know. And if you want to call it a game of life, then that's okay. But you know, everybody wins, you know.
And people, and what some people are not winning at is the fact that they give up on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't give up on yourself. Everybody else is willing to give up on you. So if you give up on you, that leaves you without much of anything.
Yeah. And it's almost like you're helping people defeat you. You know, it's
exactly.
almost like, you know, you're giving them the key to your failure. Instead of, you know,
exactly.
keeping it to yourself. But I think, again, we got to understand that, you know, basically life is about fun. Now, there's what they call a Paralympic gold medal winner, mm-hmm. and her name is Darda Sales. And she's featured in this film called It's All in the Bounce. And it's about the fact
mm-hmm.
that at a really young age, she lost her right leg. But she
mm-hmm.
went on to become a motivational speaker and recreation therapist in London, in Canada. And the thing
mm-hmm.
is that she was, you know, because she lost a leg and she was in a self-pity mode, she would just go home and watch TV all the time. But one
mm-hmm.
time she was out around kids who were practicing
mm-hmm.
for a swim meet, and the coach actually mm-hmm. said, would you like to join us? Would you like to have some fun? And so, you know,
mm-hmm.
with one leg, she
mm-hmm.
jumped into the pool and it made all the difference. You know,
mm-hmm.
we have to understand that this whole thing about success, it's hard work, but it's
mm-hmm.
great fun.
No,
you know,
okay.
I mean, I what we're doing right now, it's for me, I mean, I've been looking for this. I look for every Tuesday, you know, because it's hard work because I want to make sure each program is better than the last program, but it's all fun. And like they say in the Bible, it's all joy. It's all joy
yes.
when you're
yes.
doing these things that you're supposed to be doing. It's all joy when you're helping people realize their goals and their dreams and identify a value that's going to help them for the rest of their life. This is all joy. And when you're doing something that you love, the time flies. That's why when kids are at play, when they're at play, they're not just playing, but they're learning motor skills, they're learning critical thinking, they're learning how to solve problems and whatnot. And this is all in a day of play. And they come in, they're exhausted, they're worn out because they play so hard. And sometimes when my kids would come in and sometimes they'd be so tired, they'd be falling asleep at the dinner table. I said, man, you really had a hard day of play, huh? I said, yeah. She'd shake their head. Well, go and take your shower and go to bed because you deserve it. I think sometimes we as adults, we don't really understand that life is about play. It's not always about being serious. You know, it's about really doing what you love and love what you're doing. That's why I'm pushing Sexy at 60, only because I believe that if you are engaged in what you love, you want to do it as long as you possibly can do it. I mean, you want to have a long life doing the thing that you love. That's why I like to hang around older musicians, men who have been out in this thing for 30, 40, 50 years, you know, and that's their career, and they're still doing it, and they're 90s only because they still love doing it. And I'm talking about men who are doing like 2 and 3 hour concerts, but again, they found what they love. And they're doing what they love. And every day, although they've been doing this for many, many years, there's still something new that they find to really energize themselves. And that's what it's about, you know. Never thinking that, you know, it's over, it's done, I can't do anymore. As long as you're alive, there is something that you can do every single day to make your life better. And that's the key, you know. I mean, it can always be better. And the longer you live, the more chance you have to make it better.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what can you tell us about your topic today?
Oh, man,
I know
please.
You prepared something to share.
Oh, yes, I have.
Exactly.
It's so funny.
What
this
people
is
have tuned in because they want to know about this.
Forward.
Expanding the mind view. Wow, that sounds heavy.
But it's not so heavy because when I say mind view, what I'm talking about is your imagination, what goes on inside, and basically, you know, what we're talking about is what we've been talking about for some time now. And this is holding an idea or a concept in your mind and let it get sink into your subconscious mind. We can do a world of good, and not just for yourself, but others. It was Albert Einstein who said, imagination is better than knowledge because imagination knows no limits. And you can do anything and be anything in your imagination. And if you think about it enough, it becomes your reality. And the point is that we should dream big, okay? And if we dream big while we're awake, we can make goals that would take root in our subconscious mind and be a real fruit in the future. Because I know as a writer, my good stuff comes that when I go into my subconscious mind. And I need to have some quiet. I need to have some meditative space to do that. Because when I speak of mind view, again, I'm speaking of the imagination. That's the lesson that we have to relearn from our childhood. When we were kids, anything is possible. You ask a kid, can you sing? Oh, yeah, I can sing. Can you dance? Oh, yeah, I can dance. You know, they have no limit because, you know, nobody is telling them, well, you know, you're not dancing right or you're not singing right. They don't think about it. All they want to do is sing and dance and have fun. And I think as we get older, we let the critical judgment of others affect what we want to do. You know, you write something and you show to somebody and say, well, I don't know about this. This is not that good. You say, well, maybe he's right. But with kids, they give you a picture and, you know, I don't know what the pitch is, you know, and they say, well, this is this and this is that and this other thing. And it's great. It's this old joke about the young girl who was in art class and she was drawing this picture. And she was really into this picture. And the art teacher came by her desk and said, you know, what are you drawing there? She said, I'm drawing a picture of God. And the art teacher says, well, you know, how is that possible? Because nobody knows what God looks like. And the young girl said, well, they will know what he looks like when I finish this picture. And so what happens, you know, as far as teacher concerned, she's setting the standard. Okay, again, we put too many limits on ourselves, you know. It's only when we become older that we overthink. And sometimes we defeat ourselves before we even begin. But don't think about how we can. You know, don't think about how we can't. Think about how we can. And that should be deep. It was Ralph Waldo Emerson who said, they conquer who believe they can. Okay, again, they conquered who believes they can. If you can believe you can do it, and you believe it enough, it can happen. It was Ralph Emerson who also said, do the thing that you fear, and the death of fear is certain. So if you fear and step forward and starting a new business and starting in some things, just go and do it. Because the more you do it, the less you fear. And basically, Les Brown said it best when he said that fear, F-E-A-R, is false expectations appearing real. Most of the things that we worry about or we fear about never come true. Okay? You miss a payment on your mortgage, and the first thing you think, they're going to take me out of this house. Well, let's understand that the way that the market is, even though you can't pay your mortgage, they would rather you have you in the house than have the house be overrun with weeds and everything. I mean, don't be ridiculous with this, but there are many people who are not paying their mortgages, you know, are still sitting in their house. Now, I'm sure they work something else, but again, most of the things that we fear are not going to happen anywhere. Again, so don't let fear stop you. And that's why, you know, the whole thing about this particular presentation is, again, getting out of your comfort zone, okay? There is no growth in the comfort zone. So we have to get out of that because that's the only way that we'll grow, to become the person that we were meant to be. You know, again, we're not saying be somebody that you're not. We're not saying be someone that you imagine. But we're saying be that person that you know that you can be in your heart. You know, with Jim Rohn who said that, you know, we need to really become the person that we need to be. And this just goes deep. This goes real deep into the heart of the Sexy at 60 philosophy. When I first developed it, and I said that we must develop the habit of literacy. And what I mean is that we must read. Okay, there are so many books and there's just so little time, but every day there are new books coming out. Right. So who knows what lurks in the subconscious mind? The only time we can get that out is when we pull it out when we write. Talk. Develop serious empathy for other people. I was watching Good Morning America, and he had an author on there named Kurt Anderson, and he just wrote a book, a novel called True Believers. In this particular book, the main character is a woman. Her name is Karen Hollander. And the thing that they were talking about so much in his interview with Gail King was not the fact that he wrote the book, but the fact that he wrote the book in the first person, and the first person in the book is a woman. So he's writing, I did this, I did that, I did the other thing, and it's really a man writing about a woman. And the thing is that really blew Gail King's mind was the fact that he not only wrote about a woman, but he wrote about a woman who was 64 years old. And she was really sort of blown away about that. But he said, well, you know what? I had to go into my imagination to bring this out. But the thing was that, you know, he said he's married. He has daughters. He spent a lot of time around women, so he understood how they thought. But the thing is that you have to understand that when you talk to people, that's why I like to interview people, because when you interview people, you develop, you know, empathy for other people. And so, again, that means we have to listen. And when I say listen, it's be there. Be in the moment. And view, again, positive thoughts, positive images, see that we can do better and do better. So, again, developing habit literacy is to read, write, to talk, to listen, and view, and to do it every day. Which brings me to some closing thoughts, and these are from Norman Vincent Peale, who I had known for a long, long time, but I didn't really know exactly what he stood for. I mean, I knew that he was a author, that he was a motivational speaker, that he was a minister, and he was born in 1898, and he died in 1993, and he died at the age of 95, so he had a long life. But the point is that he says about aging, which I really love. It says, in terms of aging, it says here, live your life and forget your age. Live your life and forget your age. Be so busy that you don't think about, I'm 50 or 60 or 70, whatnot. Just be about your business. Be about the things that you were put here on earth to do. And age won't be a factor. Just live your life. Live your life to the fullest, okay? And, again, he offers four major ideas that I want us to discuss. And basically, I'm just going to put them out there, and then, you know, we can respond to them. But the point is that the book that I'm quoting from is The Power of Positive Thinking. And this was actually written and published in 1952. So that was 1952, and now it's 2012. And these ideas are even more relevant today, because, again, these are ideas that are now, we can understand. I'm sure when he was coming up and putting these things out there, people didn't really understand it. But now we have more enlightenment, and we know that these are things that we want to look at. You know, and again, and it says in the Bible, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Okay? And it goes on to say in the Bible that in Romans 8:31, it says that if God be for us, who can be against us? So understand that we have a powerful ally at our sides, and that there's nothing that we can do to defeat ourselves unless this is what we want. But again, this is important, and I just want to these are like four strategies that we need to look at. And number one, and this is from The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. Number one, it says here, formulate and stamp indelibly in your mind and mental picture of yourself as succeeding. Hold this picture tenaciously. Never permit it to fade. Your mind will seek to develop this picture. Never think of yourself as failing. Never doubt the reality of the mental image. That is more dangerous, for the mind always tries to complete what it pictures. So always picture success, no matter how badly things seem to be going at the moment. So again, number one, think success at all times and never let anything that is going to contradict that come into your mind. And when it does, you just banish it. So again, formulate and think success. Number two, whenever a negative thought concerning your personal powers comes to mind, deliberately voice a positive thought to cancel it, okay? Positive thought cancels out negative thoughts, okay? Steve Harvey likes to say that the positive and the negative can't exist in the same mind at the same time. So if you think positive thoughts, that cancels out the negative. Number three, do not build up obstacles in your imagination. You appreciate every so-called obstacle. Minimize them. Difficulties must be studied and officially dealt with to be eliminated, but they must be seen for only what they are, they must not be inflated by fear thoughts. For again, you know, again, don't let fear dominate. Okay, take the idea that in the road to success there will be many obstacles, but we can overcome them because of the power of our subconscious mind. And number four, and I think this is really, really important, because a lot of times we try to compare ourselves to other people and we fall short because, you know, we can't be other people. We can only be ourselves. And number four, he says here, do not be awestruck by other people and try to copy them, okay? A copy is just that, a copy. There is nothing better than the original, okay? If you're trying to copy somebody, all you can be is a poor imitation of them. When you are yourself, you are doing the best thing that you can do for yourself. When I write, I'm not trying to be like anybody else. I'm trying to be the best me that I can possibly be because, again, when I'm doing me, I'm doing the best that I can. When I'm doing you, I'm imitating you, and I'm trying to be like you, but I can never be like you because that's not the way I'm wired. And so in the final analysis, number one, you know, think success in your mind all day, every day. Number two, cancel out negative thoughts with positive thoughts. Number three, do not build up obstacles in your imagination, in your mind view. And number four, do not be awestruck by other people and try to copy them. Be you. Be you because everybody else is taken. So you got to be you. And that's the only way that we can really be the success that I know that we can be. You know, we have to get out of that comfort zone, you know, let that alone, and develop our mind view so broadly that everything that we can possibly want can be achieved. But we have to see it in our minds, and we have to see it and plant it in our subconscious mind, because as we live our life, we're going to bring that out more and more and more. A lot of people criticize Norman Vincent Peale. They were saying that he was really believing in self-hypnosis, that he was telling people that he had hypnotized himself to really realize his success. And basically they said this was a wrong thing, but I don't have a big problem with that because, again, it's almost to be successful, sometimes you do have to hypnotize yourself. Sometimes you have to almost put on the blinders and not see the things that can go wrong. The only thing is seeing things that can go right, and it's not being unrealistic. I think what it is being eternally optimistic, knowing that no matter what happens, no matter what obstacles that we may face, we will eventually reach our goal if we don't stop. Because as long as you keep on moving toward it, there is no way that you can be defeated. And so I think the final analysis, again, outside the comfort zone into a new worldview, into a new looking at your imagination as something that is going to be a blueprint for your future. And on that note, I want to end, but I just hope that we can keep the conversation going in terms of realizing that, you know what, imagination, as Einstein said, has no limits. If we have no limits, then there's nothing that we can't do. It may take some time, but you know what? If you're having fun, time is a really no consequence.
Wow, that's interesting. Yes.
So there.
Now take that.
I know it's a mouthful, but.
Wow. You know, but yes, so expanding, look, getting that mind view, and I can't help, but I'm surrounded by the Olympics, so I can't help but to see very clearly how each and every one of them that was there, regardless of whether they got on the podium or not, the fact that they were there, and all the ones that tried to get there, the only way you would ever even think to get there, you would have to have an expanded mind view. That's the only way.
Yes.
Couldn't even consider yourself. I mean, I have a young lady that lives next door to me, and actually about five or six of them on the street. They're all into some type of athletics. But the young girl that she's been there since, you know, I've been knowing her. We were here before she was born, so been knowing her since she was born. But here's a little girl that when she was five, she's nine now, but when she was five, I saw her coming one day, and she told me that She said, I'm in gymnastics.
Wow.
And she says, I'm going to the Olympics.
Oh, my goodness. See that?
It was 5. And I said, yeah, right. They were getting out of the car because our driveways are right next to it. She was getting out of the car and she had her little backpack on or whatever. And she's so cute. And I said, oh, yeah, right. And I said, show me what you can do. Well, she dropped her bags. She's only 5. She dropped her bags. She went over to the grass and proceeded to tumble.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Talk about back, nose, and everything. And I mean, flipped up in the air, came down. I was like, oh, yes, you are.
Wow.
I perceive you're going. And so, you know, now she's 9. Now, I've only, you know, I've had conversations with her since then, but we haven't had the Olympics since then either. So now that the Olympics is on, and I see them out there tumbling, and there's another little girl down the street who is also a gymnast. So, so of course, because of all this, I said, let me approach her and see, is this really inspiring her the more? Does she see her happy, you know, those kind of things, right? And she broke my heart. She said, I don't want to do that anymore.
What?
Because I'm not really, her mom says, oh, yeah, she's really not been going. I said, well, what are you doing? She says, I'm very good at tumbling, though. I'm still into that. The mother says, yeah, there's this thing called tumble something. There's some type of power tumbling thing out there or something. She says, She wants to get her into that, but she says she's really into cheerleading. So she cheers. New Jersey, apparently, formal group of cheerleaders, and she's a part of that. Competed and won an opportunity to go around the country with them or do some cheerleading thing was on television. I didn't see it, she tried out. She did make the cut, but her parents weren't able to accompany her to New York for whatever it was, because both parents had to be there. So anyway, they couldn't do that, so she didn't make that. But now that was on like maybe last Monday, I said this to her, and we had that conversation. Well, yesterday she came to me and said, I think I'm going to start back with gymnastics. I think I want to go to the Olympics for gymnastics.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So, you know, but just that whole, you know, that expanded view. You know, now here she now, she's 9. She's like, yeah, I want to do it. And she looked so sad, like, I hope I didn't take off too long, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
That's too much of a break. But, you know, I mean, come on, to do these things, to even consider to want to be there. So it's so, like, so childlike for them to see these really, really big things in their mind, in their imagination, and then they just go after it. So many things that you're saying that are just so powerful, talking about doing what you love. And
that's the thing, because when you love something, you have a passion for it, and the passion sort of pushes you forward, you know? You know, and when you feel that, you know, you can't go on, and you know, Norman Vincent Peale also says, he says here that enthusiasm, the drive to carry you over obstacles and add significance to all that you do. You know, when you're really in what you love, you don't think about obstacles. You don't think about training for the Olympics, and it's every 4 years, so that's a lot of time in between. But I'm not a big sports fan, but I love to see and read the stories about those who have overcome, and even those who go there and don't receive a gold or a silver.
Exactly.
Just that they were able to compete at that level.
Exactly. And look at what you had to do to get there. I'm looking at those that didn't even make it over there. Those that just, what you have to do to get there takes an expanded mind.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To all of the training, because the people who didn't go, for the most part, they worked out.
Oh, yeah.
Probably as hard as the ones who got there. Because your workout has to be at your top of your game, regardless. Or else you wouldn't even think to, you wouldn't even be doing it. Because, you know, especially doing something like that, you know, something that takes that extra. Anything that deals with going to the gym takes an extra.
Oh, yeah. And it's discipline. I mean,
we
don't really do what we can do because we don't discipline ourselves. You know, like self-control is such an important thing. I mean, you know, it's hard, you know, sometimes to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and because you want to go to the gym or do what you have to do to get your exercise in. But it's so important because it pays off. And the funny thing about exercise, I mean, all the studies that I read has shown that all it takes is 30 minutes a day. And you don't do the 30 minutes at one time. You can do 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, and 10 minutes there. But at least you're doing something and keeping the body moving, you know, because the body at rest is not a good thing all the time, and we do need rest. But I think we need activity more so than rest, because when you're exercising, now I exercise not just for my body, but exercise for my mind, because that keeps the mind fresh as well as the muscles and whatnot. So, again, we have a lot to do, but we can do it if we just focus on what's really important. That's why I tell my kids, you can't afford a lot of distractions. You just can't afford. There's a TV show on the Sundance channel called Push Girls. There are four young women who are paralyzed and are in wheelchairs. But one is married. One is a championship swimmer. One is a hip-hop artist. One is a dancer. I mean, they are living their lives, even though they have what people might consider a handicap. I mean, they date. They flirt. They are women. And again, you know, you people talk about, you know, they can't do it. I look at people who have some serious handicaps, if you want to call it, like the girl I was talking about before, you know, who is a swimmer and only has one leg. You know, you're talking about the, you know, Stevie Wonder, who is blind. I mean, you know, he lived his life. He lived a very full life. You know, with something people consider a handicap, and he may be disabled in one way, but he is more than able in other ways. And I think that we have to really begin to focus and find our genius, because I think that there's something within all of us that is our genius. And once we find that genius and develop that genius, our life has no limits. I mean, I have a lot of things I know that I could do, but there's only a few things that I can do better than anybody that I know. And those few things that I can do better than anybody I know are things that I do within my ability that I developed over many, many, many years, you know. And I think, again, when you're writing, I mean, you can't be like everybody else, because that's not going to help you. You can be the best you can be, because people look for your originality. They look for your genius. And nobody else can have that but you. But you won't even have it yourself unless you develop it. And it's a lifelong process, because you know what? Every day you're learning more about you. And that's what's so great about this life that we have here. You know, we are in a situation where, you know, if we do things right, every day can be just great, because you know what? Every day has its own success, you know, in terms of just learning something new. Like I said, when I was doing this particular presentation, I was walking past this bookstore, and in the bookstore, every time I go by the bookstore, it's never open, but they have a lot of books in there, you know. And I was looking at it, and they had this book called The Power of Positive Imagining. And this was Norman Vincent Peale. And the thing is that it's the book about positive imagining, in the sense that, you know, what you want to do, you have to see first in your mind. And that's why I think the whole thing about affirmations becomes so important. You know, because in his book, he tells, like, says here, but 10 times a day, repeat these dynamic words. And this is from Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? And he says here, stop reading and repeat now, slowly and confidently. You know, if God be for us, who can be against us? And so again, we want to keep on saying, it says here, and this should be said at least 10 times each day. It says 10 times each day, practice the following affirmation. Repeat out loud if possible. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Again, you're saying this. This is from Philippians 4:13. And repeat these words again and again and again until it becomes part of your subconscious mind. So you don't even think about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. I've seen so many people, you know, that it's like you said, you know, when you, I just love that, you know, expanding your imagination. Mm-hmm. We got to get into the habit of doing that. The brain is a muscle, so it can be expanded.
Yeah.
It's like Yeah, and, you know, I put that on Facebook, what you said, quoting you there, that you got to find your genius.
Oh, yes, please. You have to.
Do your genius. I said, you're going to have unlimited life success for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You will have negative days when you are tapped into your genius. It's like a child. When a child is at play and they're doing and they're playing what they love, you don't see any negativity surrounding that child unless somebody comes and tries to stop them.
Yes.
Now you may see the child, you know, go off. But
other than that, they
are happy. And that's how we are as adults. When you, like you say, when you get in that genius zone,
you think
you are passionate about the thing that, because when you have passion about it, the skill level is going to increase. Because the more you do it, the better you get.
Exactly.
The more familiar you become with yourself and your mistakes, and the easier you are to overcome them. We've watched everybody in the Olympics, every single person, they have to overcome their mistakes. They didn't make a mistake and give up.
Mm-hmm.
They made a mistake and said, what do I need to do differently? That's how they got there. And the ones who won did it a little bit better than the others.
Mm-hmm.
They corrected the mistakes, and then they kept going, and that gave them the power to even want to do more. And so maybe for some people it won't be, you know, a floor exercise. Maybe it won't be a 400-meter race. Maybe it won't be a javelin, you know, run and this and that. Maybe it'll be writing a book. Maybe it'll be, you know, doing whatever. It could be customer service. It could be the things that I'm doing that I know when I'm in my zone. Now, here's the thing, though. Like those gym, like one thing, I keep going back to the gymnast because secretly I wanted to do that when I was a kid, but, you know, because in the town, well, probably everywhere, but at least we're in my school as a kid.
We had
gymnastics. That was a part of the regular gym class.
Yeah, we did.
Swinging rings, the horse, the beam, all of that was in my gym room every single time we went in there. So it was only natural that I would think, you know, that to me that was, you know, something fun. It was very difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was also, I mean, that's the first thing you learned how to do is a somersault, or whatever. So, you know, but I look at these gymnasts and I look at how, you know, each and every last one of them, you know, this is what they go for. And I just think that when you find that thing that for you is something that you're going for it, and you put your heart and you put your soul into it, and you will, now with them, they don't get paid while they're practicing. There's no money for them, not a single dime. That's why they got all them big smiles on their faces.
Because
they know, now comes the payoff. Yeah, the payoff is nice to have this gold medal around my neck. But for those of us who work every day, the past 10 years, if we've been working and getting a paycheck, they haven't been doing that. You cannot work when you got to be in the gym 9, 10, 12 hours a day. There will be no job. You won't be working. So you're not going to have any money unless you're being supported through, you know, other endorsements and your family members and things like that.
So they've had
sacrifice. But my point about that is some of the things like what I'm doing and others who might be, you know, speakers and authors and what have you, the pay is not immediate. You know, it might take an author 2 years to write the book that they want to write. They're not working. Some of them can't work during that time to really be able to pour out what they want. So
the
payoff. Later, once you do that, now once that book hits the stands or once that speech, you know, it might take you, a speech writer, you know, a while before you get that perfect motivational speech.
Exactly.
Right away, you don't have a name. Nobody really knows you. You're not going to be out here making a lot of money. So it's a great, so I just wanted to mention that for people who are in those kinds of, in those lines of work. Same thing with starting your own business. Right away, you may not see a profit.
Right.
In fact, you won't see a profit, You can't.
Yeah, you can count on that.
It's not possible because of the way the nature of business is that it takes an investment. So it's you can't see it. You won't see a profit. And it's same thing with school. And you go to school, and it's an investment. The students don't realize that. And so they go to college or what have you, and they don't realize that that is 4 years of an investment. And if you invest properly, then on that June or that May, 4 years later, now comes the reward. But you don't get the reward all along. I mean, sure, you get small goals that you reach and what have you, but the major reward comes at the end. And I think this is a message that
Why, you know, you have to have short-term goals as well as long-term goals, okay, because your short-term goals are the immediate things that you want to say. But the long-term goals are things in the future. Like, for example, our short-term goal at my company, in-house publishing, is to publish certain books. But our long-term goal is to have a building which is in-house publishing. But that building is not just the books and the publishing, but also is theater, also is film, also is art. So we have a big, big vision, a big picture. And I think that when you develop your mind view, when you develop your imagination, now you see these things, and you see these things, as Norman Vincent Peale says, you have to picturize what you want to see come about, and you move toward that particular picture. And the thing is, but you have to be almost inside and outside of it. You don't have to be, sometimes you have to be outside of yourself to see what you're doing. I like what Les Brown says. He says that sometimes you can't see the picture when you're in the frame. So you have to detach yourself to a certain point where you can actually look at yourself and what you're doing. A lot of times people get so much into self, they don't understand that sometimes you have to step outside of yourself to see what's going on, because you get so much into yourself that you don't really understand that your little obstacles or whatnot are really parts of your success. You know, sometimes we fail and we think it's all over, not realizing that that's just the way it is. Seth Godin has a very interesting book out. It's called The Dip, which means that as you're going through your life success, there's going to be times when you're going to want to give up. But that's the dip. But then you come back up. You come back up stronger because you realize that, you know what, this is all part of the process. People understand that, you know, again, when you're trying to become successful, there are times when you will fail, but that failure is not the end of the story. As a matter of fact, how many Olympic people have tried and maybe, you know, the first, second time they didn't make it, but the third time they did and they went on to get the gold or get the silver. But the thing is that they did not give up, and I think that's the thing, because once you have that picture in your mind, once you know that, hey, look, it is possible. If I stick with it, you'll stick with it more, because there's so many stories of people who just didn't give up. And when people told them they should give up, they didn't do it because, again, this is what they felt that they should be doing. So, again, I mean, and that's why it's really so important to be around like-minded people who encourage you, because, again, there are some people you can't share your dreams with because they just can't see it. And they'll start talking negative, and then you might fall into a trap of believing them, and then you know, it won't defeat you, but it will set you back. You know, that's why I'm so glad, and I thank God that I was blessed with the fact that I knew at an early age what I would do for my life work. And I tell people there's two things you have to look at. There is your job and there's your work. Okay, your job is your 9-to-5 or whatever you do to make a living, but your work is what you do to make a life. And I knew my work was to inspire others as I went through my life inspiring myself. So I had no doubt about what my work would be. And I'm just so glad that, you know, now I'm in my retirement years, I can devote more time to my work. But I never stopped doing it. You know, when I was doing the 9-to-5, I still made time for my work. And people have to understand that's your job and your work. And the work is where you invest all your heart and your soul and your blood, sweat, and tears, and that's going to really make you ultimately happy, because that's what you were born here to do. You were born to do this thing that is your genius. You know, one of the things I learned at a late age is that, you know, you build upon your strengths. I mean, we all have strengths and weaknesses, you know, but again, I mean, I don't care how much I study mathematics, I'm never going to be a great mathematician. But I know that the more I study writing and reading and whatnot, I have opportunity to be one of the great ones. But you know what? It's because I build on my strengths. I know what my strengths are, and I build upon that. But again, it goes out to the whole thing is that, you know, your self-esteem. Do you really, really believe that you can do this? Do you really believe that you deserve this? A lot of times we say that we want something, but we don't really believe that. We don't really think it's possible. And so, again, all the books that I read about self-help and self-development says, you know what, it comes down to self-esteem. Do you really, really believe that you deserve it? Because if you don't believe you deserve it, there's some doubt in your mind that maybe I'm not worthy of this, then it's gonna set you back. But if you move full speed ahead with the realization that, you know what, I deserve this, I deserve it not just for me, but my family, my friends, and really for the world. Because if you develop your genius, it's going to be a gift to the world.
Wow.
I'm telling you, you know, there's not too many people who are in the world who don't need some encouragement, who don't need a place to go. And for me, a lot of times, that place to go is in a book by one of my favorite authors. You know, somebody I like, I follow, I read that book in there. And most of the books in my library, especially those books that meant the most to me, books like Wayne Dyer and Les Brown and Norman Vincent Peale and these kind of people, there are books I read not once, but twice, maybe three or four times. Maybe there's some books here that I read at least once a year. I mean, every year I read the Bible from beginning to end. You know, this is before I had any idea of my true spirituality. You know, I read it because I felt it was a good book, especially Proverbs. You know, there's a lot of really nice sayings, and some of those things can be affirmations. I think, again, affirmations, I find, are really one of the keys to success. You know, Obama, his whole campaign was built on the fact of the slogan, yes, I can. Okay, yes, I can. Yes, I can become president. Yes, I can change the minds of people who are still very negative in terms of can a man of African origin leave this world. There are some people who still won't accept that. But no matter what happens with him, he has set a tone and he has set a rhythm that we need to follow. So again, I wouldn't say don't worry about what you can't do. Just worry about what you can do and do it to the fullest.
Wow. Wow. Yes. I know what you're talking about. I know that zone, that genius. I know it. I'm living it right now. I'm right in the midst of it. It feels great. It gives you energy to be doing something, you know, from being an author to being a speaker to different things that I've tried. Mm-hmm. Putting together this event is truly, which, you know, I've somewhat known that this is something that I totally enjoy doing.
Yeah.
However, like you said, when you lack confidence, there could be those doubts will come in your mind and tell you, not this, not now, sometimes not ever. But I have a book, it's an event planning book that you can purchase. You know, you can purchase any business, anything you want to start on, you can purchase a how-to through the SBA. So I have this book, and the book goes back to 2000. I got the book in 2000. And again, you know, just kind of put it on the shelf thing. Of course, most of the things in there are outdated because they didn't have Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff then.
Yes.
But, and a lot of other things. But the point is that it's something that I always wanted to do, and I've done different things, seminars, conferences. However, not till now, and you know, right before the Olympics, the Olympics is just confirming everything.
But
this last conference that we're doing, Women Leaders and Entrepreneurs, and Business Expo, our theme is Reach Your Power, Aspiration, and Innovation. And I just even realized myself that whole Release Your Power, what that is really saying is get motivated.
Yeah,
get motivated.
It's all in you. It's there. You know, like you said, you just got to release it. But let it out.
And you know, and I didn't, when I picked the title of that for the title of the book, Release Your Power, I wasn't thinking that I was getting a cold phrase for motivation.
Yes, yes.
But now that I put the two together, or the Holy Spirit just opened my vision on it, that's what motivation is. It's the power within you.
Yes, yes.
Yes, now, someone can motivate you so you can be externally motivated.
Different things.
However, but it's still ultimately you that has to make a move.
No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like Wayne Dyer, he talks about inspiration, and he breaks it down. Inspiration is in spirit, okay? Inspiration in the spirit. Because, you know, again, I don't want to get too deep into this only because we're getting ready to wrap it up, but the thing is that when you're in spirit, when you're in inspiration, I mean, something else takes over. You're talking about the Holy Spirit. I mean, I know that when I'm in really into my writing, I mean, something else takes over to the point where I'm writing and I'm flowing and I'm flowing. And when I finish that writing, I put it to the side. Then I look at it in a few days and I say, wow, you know, like, where did this come from, you know? Did I write that? A lot of times when I'm in the office, sometimes I'll pick up a book that I've written maybe years ago, and I look at it and I realize that I'm no longer that person. I moved on from there. But when I read it, it's almost like, wow, where did this come from? Where did I get the idea for this? And that's why, again, when we stay inspiration, when we stay inspired, you never know. That's why I really encourage more people to write, because when you write, you have to go inside that subconscious mind and pull it out. And you never know what's in there, because, again, every day we are so bombarded by images, thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And sometimes we can't sort it out. It's only when we sit down in our solitude, in our meditative state, that we can bring out these things that are within us. But unless we pray, unless we meditate, unless we write, unless we release our power, we will never know that. And the thing that is so sad, Lisa, is that so many of us have so many great gifts, but we don't take the time to sit down and bring them out because we're so busy. We're so busy doing this and so busy doing that and so busy doing this other thing that we really never sit down to spend some time with ourselves. And the best relationship that we can have is with ourselves, because in the five mountains, you got to like yourself because you spend so much time with yourself. And so, you know, we really got to take time to just be quiet. I mean, you know, I think we hear God the most in our solitude, when we're like one and one. That's why I like to walk in the morning. And sometimes I'm walking and it's dark, and as I walk, it becomes light. It becomes lighter. It becomes brighter. And I think, again, as we move towards the thing that we really want to be about, it becomes easier, too. It becomes brighter, you know? And, again, I just want this quote here from Norman Vincent Peale. He says here, yesterday ended last night. Every day is a new beginning. Learn the skill of forgetting and move on. I mean, you know, let the past be the past. It says yesterday ended last night. It's gone. It's finished. Every day is a new beginning. Learn the skill of forgetting, and I would say also the skill of forgiving. You know, let that past hurt go. Let it go. Forget that person. You know, forgive that person and move on. Okay. A lot of us are stuck. You know, some of us are stuck in the '60s. You know, which was maybe our heyday. You know, and now we say, well, I'm too old to do what I used to do. Yeah, you're right. You are too old what you used to do. But again, there's some more that you can do.
Do something new. I got you.
You know, sometimes we, you know, I remember I was at this conference and one of the speakers, he actually turned over a chair. And he stepped inside the chair and just walked around with the chair on his foot. And that was what he was illustrating, was that a lot of us walk around with baggage that we don't need. It's like, you know, being a 400-pound person and losing 200 pounds. That's one person that you lost. That's one person that you have to carry around. Sometimes we have so many things that we have from the past that we carry around, and we need to let these things go. Let it go, because it no longer serves us, okay? It no longer serves us to carry that hurt and that pain and that unforgiveness. Let it go. Let it go.
Well, with that being...
You feel so much lighter, and your future will be so much brighter, and you feel so much better, because you don't have to carry that heavy burden. And sometimes it's guilt, low self-esteem. You know, I was talking to a young lady recently about the whole thing about skin color, dark skin versus light skin. I mean, it's 2012, and we're still having that stupid conversation. The light skin is better than dark skin, and, you know, a dark-skinned woman can't be a pretty woman. That's just stupid. Come on now. Let that go. That's so outdated that it's ridiculous. But still, so people, you know, still suffer from that, you know? You know, we got to let go of things that don't serve us, you know? They don't serve us. Let it go.
Well, on that note, we are going to go. So that, can you believe it, a whole hour already? But we certainly appreciate all of the words, the thoughts, the comments, everyone that is tuned in to the chat, the chatter in the chat room. We appreciate Ms. Kiva, Renee, those on the phone lines, those of you who will listen to the archives. Please, please, please do me a favor. Don't forget to register for the event. We have vendors coming out. We're trying to impact the economy, supporting small business people. We have Capital One Bank. They will be there to talk about the small business loans. And when I tell you that Capital One Bank does, in fact, help the small business, trust me, they're the bank that you want to deal with. Out of all the places that all the banks that I tried to reach out to over the years to get support for things that I was doing, such as this, it was the Capital One Bank that gave us some support. I'm talking about dollar support, okay? I'm not just talking about, okay, we'll come set up a table and pass out some brochures. I'm talking about the almighty dollar. And so I will promote them for the longest, because I've been out here a long time trying to get support from major corporations. And, you know, you've got to know someone. Well, I didn't know anyone there. All I did was go in and open an account with them. And not just that, though, because I have an account in some other places.
Mm-hmm.
But they allowed me to build a relationship with them.
That's great.
And what I'm talking about, so we can now not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. And we can have people come in to this conference. If you are a small business owner, you are a woman business owner, do sign up. We have phenomenal speakers. Dr. Gwendolyn Goseby Grant. We have Lois Green from Newark Beth Israel. She's a vice president of the ambulatory services. You know, she'll talk about her journey and some of the things that it took her to get where she's at. We have Beverly Carter, who will talk about, you know, branding and leadership and what's important as a leader. We also have we have Marianne Kochet, who was my business professor, but who taught me all the steps to the 7 habits of highly effective people. She taught me about Jahari's window. She taught me about our circle of concern and our sphere of influence. She taught me all of these different things in graduate school, in our course, Managing Change. A change expert, worked for many years as a corporate trainer for AT&T. When I tell you, has her own business, Leadership Possibilities, coach, life coach. This woman is phenomenal. Powerful testimony. I won't share it because she may want to do that there. Miss Nicole Upconscious, powerful speakers. Cityplex in Newark has given us tickets that we're going to also give away door prizes on that day. A woman has given me a spa. We have a spa treatment that we are going to pull off. But we also have lunch will be included. The tickets are only $30. We have vendors there. We want you to come and support these vendors who have been hanging in there with this bad economy, but they have not given up. They have expanded their imagination, and they're saying, I know I'm going to make it. I know I'm going to be a success. I'm working on getting, the SBA will be there to, you can talk with them, set up appointments with them, find out what they have to do. You can, I'm trying to get a woman there that is going to talk about how to get government contracts for your business. She's gotten over a few million dollars in government contracting, and she's helped
really, she's gotten way more than that because she's helped so many others. Right. So we. So anyway, it's going to be awesome. You don't want to miss it. Tell everybody you know, anybody you know that wants to be have a business, has an idea, come, like you said, be around like-minded people. So, again, Terry, until next Tuesday, have a wonderful, powerful week. Keep finding those sexy.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you. Keep finding those sexy at 60 and above people. And to everyone else, be blessed.
Yes. Thank you. Good day.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up because, in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.